Security excellence through education. Corporate Security University. Hey, everybody. Great to see you once again. My name is Carlos Francisco.
And I'm Scott Walker.
This is Corporate Security University.
Security excellence through education.
And we got a great topic today, Scotty. As a matter of fact, we weren't even going to record this topic. And then we said, you know, this is a great topic to record. We got big time David Weiner here with us with Secure Measures. And we're like, let's just do it, Scotty. And I mean, you tell me, what are you thinking?
Yeah, well, we started to talk about, interestingly enough, we were convoluting or convulsing about convixing, whatever. We
convulsing.
Were having, convulsing. We're having a conversation about why our budgets are as security professionals are so scrutinized, or at least I was. And the thought occurred to me that we are not considered to be corporate professionals. And that should be nothing new for anybody who's been in corporate security for a while. But we spend an inordinate amount of time trying to figure out how corporate culture works, how to navigate corporate culture, and how the business works. And none of these things are bad things, but we spend a lot of time doing it. We spend a lot of time trying to figure out the way corporations make money and how their budget works and profits and losses, as well as how to scrutinize our budgets and how to manage them appropriately and manage them flat to down most of the time. It's very unusual for any kind of security leader to kind of get what they need. You know, I don't think I've ever talked to a security leader who's like, I've got everything I ever wanted or I ever needed. And so my feeling was, or is, that we as security professionals aren't seen as business professionals, but we always talk about that. We always talk about how we need to be better at business. But the question that I pose to you is, find me somebody who is in a senior business role who came out of security. We are a specialty. We are not business generalists. And that's my statement.
Well, so I think it was a good statement. And when you first brought it up, I automatically said, man, I disagree. And the beauty about us is that we can disagree about a lot of things. And, right. And we usually get to a great conversation, which here we are. I grew up in an industry that if you, Scott, were willing to learn about the business as a whole, what we did, and you bought into the culture and you bought into everything that the company was doing, you would have an opportunity to move up. You know, so you could have been a security manager in hotels, and every once in a while, if you threw your hands up and you wanted to learn about a business, you could have been the manager in charge, or in some hotel companies called the duty manager, or sometimes it's MOD, manager of the day, right? And then you can move up into that. And if you did really, really well as an MOD, then you could move up to the hotel manager and then the general manager of the hotel, so on and so forth. No different in the parks. In the parks, every once in a while, you could have had the opportunity to fill in for the full-time duty manager, so you would be a duty manager. And then if you did really, really well as a duty manager, you had the opportunity to become the duty manager. The park was in charge of all of operations. That means food and beverage. That means ride operations, right? Front edges, all that stuff. And if you were really, really good, once you got into that side of the business, now you're no longer a security person. You are part of the business. So why not go be a VP of parks and hotels or whatever the case may be?
That's right.
Okay. So we had that opportunity where I grew up. That's why I disagreed with you at first, because I seen it happen in the industry where I grew up on. But on the opposite side, when I thought about the industry I'm in today, which is the tech industry, you're right. I can't think of myself moving up so much. And I'm very specific industry, like data centers, right? I can't even see myself in the niche of data centers within this big company that I work, actually becoming in charge of data center operations. I don't see that. So I agree with you, but I also disagree because there are, I think, a couple of industries that you can make it happen.
Yeah, we talked about sports and entertainment industries being one of them, right? And your experience, you were talking about, you know, within the restaurant or the entertainment industry, how that's a possibility. And at many very often, you're running the show as a security leader. You might be running the whole business for short sprints. But my sense, and I challenge people, and by the way, this is a healthy conversation to have, because we go to GSX and we go to all these conferences all the time, and everybody talks about business and how we're business leaders, and that's, it's business first, and I get it. It is. But here's the problem. We spend a lot of time trying to figure out how business is done and understanding our business, our industry, our competition, as far as a business competition goes. We spend a lot of time doing that. Find me somebody else in your business today, if you're in corporate security, that has spent a number of time, the same amount of time, or even half the time that you've spent trying to figure out business, trying to figure out security. Is there somebody in marketing that has spent half of their day trying to figure out corporate security? Is there somebody in operations who spent half of their day trying to figure out corporate security, like we have tried to figure out theirs? No. Because we're specialists. What do you think, David?
Well, you know, this goes right to the core of a lot of the stuff that you guys talk about, especially as it relates to transition, right? You have professionals coming out of the .gov space looking to land a corporate security role. And in a lot of cases, they think they are just going to be doing just security. And then when they land, they find out that that's not the case. Oh, you have to learn a lot of the business stuff, which I don't necessarily think is not important, like Carlos said. But what I think is, I think there's maybe a happy medium, understanding what are the critical business functions that could be exposed to risk, right? That's what you should be looking at as a security professional. And how are you, you know, and again, unfortunately, we all know, you know, you started off with budget, Scott, you know, so I'm gonna touch on that, which is we're looked at as a cost center. Right? Flat out. We're not looked at necessarily as a business partner. We're looked at as a cost center. And we're the voice of doom, you know, all the time, which isn't necessarily the case. You're really just trying to educate your other partners, as well as and the leadership team, on what risks or security risks that exist out there. And obviously we know there's other types of risks that businesses engage in, operational, financial, all those kind of things. But when we talk in terms of security risk, you know, we're talking about very specific things, right? You know, workplace violence and other types of things. And some people aren't ready to have those conversations.
Nope.
In a lot of ways. So go ahead, Carlos.
So what you're saying then, Scott, is that we're so specialized that we can't make that leap into the C-suite. So I'm going to give you a different angle. You know, somebody that is a finance person, they are so specialized in finance.
Yeah.
But I think you would find that there are some finance folks that are leading.
Yep.
You know, they're become CEOs of companies.
Yeah, they go from CFO to CEO. That's a leap that I've seen.
Are they as specialized as we are in what we do? Are they just more educated, savvy, understand politics better than we do? Are they more willing to toe the line, or whatever the case may be, for a community or a culture that allows them to better fit into a CEO position? Like, what do you think? Why are we so horrible as security in trying to make it? I try to pave myself. You know, I call it the road to the C-suites. I'm trying to pave my road to the C-suites, right? The yellow brick road. Help me.
Look, there's where you see former security professionals in CEO roles is when they spin off their own business. That's reality. We've seen that time and time again in Silicon Valley. Wow. You know, guys to start their own gigs.
I'll go one step further. Name a security professional And I'm sure they're out there. I've never heard of it, but share with me a security professional on a board of directors.
That's not a security company.
Yeah, well, that's not a security company.
Crickets.
Yeah.
Crickets.
No, should there be? What do you guys think? Should there be?
I've heard arguments for things like a CISO, right? Chief Information Security Officer, because cyber is such a big deal.
Yeah,
and boards of directors need to understand the cyber risk. I get that. And I would also argue, we talk about the CSO position a lot, the Chief Security Officer, right?
Yeah.
That sounds like a C-suite position, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. But how often are the CSOs actually at that C-suite table is really the bigger question. And in some cases, it might happen. I'm not saying it doesn't, but I think it happens far less than we think.
I agree
also. And that's what makes it difficult for me, Scott. Maybe when you first proposed that question, I thought of it as in, I knew that I could make it in the prior industry that I was in. I had a feeling. I was working towards it already, being the duty manager of a park where you're overseeing all of the operation, food and beverage, you know, retail, attractions, and everything else. I really felt that I was, and I bought into the culture, and I bought into what I was doing and my purpose, right, being there. And I really felt that I could do the job of leading this entire park. So that's why I didn't want to give in to you right away when you said, well, you know, man, this is what I'm seeing lately. But I don't disagree with what you're saying. Industries.
Yeah, and I think we're talking about, there are other organizations or other specialists in business that also don't cross over as often. Legal is one. You know, you don't tend to see the CLO become the CEO. Right. CEOs come out of, in major corporations, and let's be honest, they're not really talking about small business because we're talking about corporate security. Right. So I love small business, by the way. There's more small businesses than there are. There's more SMB than there are large businesses. But we're tending to talk about large businesses that are not security as a service. Right. And so we do have a few cyber CISOs, but we don't see too many CIOs or CLOs move into those senior roles. And by the way, folks who move up to a CIO role, you know, as a chief information officer, they're also coming out of an IT, heavy IT background. Mm-hmm. You don't generally see somebody from operations just take over a CIO role. So there is also a lot of not crossover. And my purpose for saying this is not to discourage anybody, but we're supposed to be educating and enlightening ourselves. And I say embrace it. I'm not a quote unquote business leader. I am a security, I'm a corporate security professional, protection professional, or risk professionals, right? The term for what we do are horrible. They're terrible. Security. We were talking about this earlier. What is the term? The term security, in my estimation, comes with an agreement of some sort. Maybe it's unwritten. Maybe it's an expectation from somebody who's receiving security services that we are providing them a level of service. We will keep them safe. Well, how many of us give that as a guarantee? Nobody, not our vendors, not us, no one in our industry should ever be guaranteeing security, right? So my point is embrace it. Don't get wrapped around the axle on, I don't know enough about business. Learn it for sure. Learn it out of respect, just because it's your craft and it's where you are. You know, I had to go from, I went from my first job out of Gov was in tech. And then I went into manufacturing, international manufacturing, in one of the oldest industries in the world. Like, I had no idea what to expect. But if I would have embraced it like a business leader, I wouldn't have looked like an idiot, because I would have gone into meetings like, yeah, I know everything there is about pulp and paper. No, I don't know anything. I'm here to learn. Help teach me. I want to know, what's the looking glass that you perceive this industry with? You share it with me, because I don't know. I come out of tech and manufacturing background, or a high-tech manufacturing background. So that was, and by the way, not doing it, but doing security for it, by the way. And so I shouldn't even claim that I come out of a tech background. I have a corporate security background and investigations background. So when we're looking at these things, or we're perceiving these things, I just think if we keep using this term security as what we do, it's not a good example, or not a good explainer of how we provide our level of transparency, provide our level of service, which is, I'm a risk professional. I'm going to tell you how to be safe.
Yeah. It's so I've always used the term that we in security is like insurance. We are insurance. And it's funny, because if you think of security as collateral, security, you know, I just bought a house in Texas. I'm very excited to move out to Texas. We closed on a house yesterday. Thank God Almighty. And we're going over there. But, you know, they look at collateral. Like, in order for me to give you this kind of loan, what it is that you have in collateral in case you can't pay us back, right? So that's the reason why I've always said security is insurance. And what I mean is that we are the collateral to lowering the risk and prices and everything that it will take for a security company to take us on. You know, we are the reason why everything is lower. So I said, let me go look on a legal sense and pull up what that means, what collateral means. And it's funny, because I pulled it up and it literally says, in a legal or contractual context, security might refer to the property or other assets that a borrower offers to a lender to secure a loan. If the borrower fails to repay the loan, the lender has the right to seize the collateral. I used to always say that I am insurance. And what I meant by that was this, is that while I was in charge of a park, if something happened under my watch, I was insurance. That means I was the one that's going to get fired. I was the one that's going to be blamed for. I was the collateral to the incident that occurred, right? And I'm putting this on here. So being the collateral of the incident that occurred, you can't be a chief security officer every single time and be the collateral to everything. Though, I'll tell you, if you are in the C-suite, you better get ready to really think about the decisions that you make.
How does that translate, though, Carlos? I mean, honestly, let's switch it up.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else in business? Is there somebody in public relations or corporate communications that would feel the same way? Put it on me. Put it on. This is the difference between our mentality, you know. I love this about security professionals, because I 100%, when you were saying it, I was like 100% agree. If something bad happens today, it's on me. I'm in charge. Mm-hmm. How many other corporate leaders? I'm doing finger quotes. How many corporate leaders would say the same thing? And I think there's a whole lot less that would say that than us. And I don't know if that's good or if that's bad. I'm posing it.
Well, that dives into other topics of conversation that we've had, Scott, around Law Enforcement Zero.
Yep.
And the willingness to engage in public, you know, public service or private service, right? And when we talk in terms of security, a lot of times we think about the physical aspects of security, right, and risk. But what about psychological safety, psychological security, right? Because a lot of times when you're providing that physical security, you're also providing that psychological, or that perceived psychological, I'm safe here because of access control or cameras or whatever, right? There is that perceived or even in some cases false sense of security, right?
It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all. I mean, look, the reason why I did that is because there's no better feeling really than like the Walt Disney Company, right? It's big. There's a lot of people. And psychologically, when you step into a place like that, automatically you feel safe, automatically feel secured, and automatically, you know, you talk about the psychological thing. That's what it is. And that's what we bring, in a way, right? And I don't think anybody does it better than Mickey Mouse. So,
and we used to call it security theater too, right? You know, and not used to, yeah. And we still do, but I mean, that's what we're talking about is I feel safe here, you know, and I think a lot of us as security professionals get wrapped around the axle if it's not done 100% our way. And we get really nervous about it, and we wring our hands because of what Carlos just said. Each and every single one of us takes this personal. And I used to try and impart on the security team that worked for me at a tech company that, you know, treat this property as your house, right? And nothing bad is going to happen at our house. We're going to respond 100% to every issue at our house, and we're going to treat everybody who comes through those doors or comes onto campus as our visitor. And how would you treat a visitor? I'd treat them with care and respect and kindness, mm-hmm. right? And so we take it really personal when people go, why do we need lights in the parking lot? Why? I don't need more cameras. Why? That's more expense. I don't want to spend money on that. That's stupid, right? And we take that personally, and we shouldn't. Sorry, go ahead, Carlos.
No, we should. And we should. So let me just kind of get us back a little bit to what we started with. Scott, then what do you think that we're missing then in the security world that we can't be like a salesperson that makes it to the CEO position or somebody that literally just had a business degree? There's a lot of business degree folks that are CEOs of companies. Obviously, in the tech, you will find a lot of engineers or something like that that made it to the CEO of companies. And by the way, I know many engineers, and not all of them are even people person. Like, to make it to the CEO is something special they must have had. What is it then, in your perspective, that you think that we need to do in security, or like you said, and I'm fighting what you said. I want you to know that.
Good.
With the statement.
Please do.
That we should just be at peace with ourselves and understand our role and what we play. I still want to get to the CEO, though I'll never be the CEO of the company I work for today. I know that. But man, can I at least be the COO? Because I'm in operations, maybe. I don't know, man. Can security at least get to the COO, an operations part of a company, you think? No. Maybe not the CEO. Ooh, damn, you are really hurting my heart.
Well, I mean, it depends on the company, right? I mean, look, like we said earlier, if it's a company that, because what we have to look at is our lineage, right? And I think I'm really embracing that. I'm becoming okay with, we don't want to spend money on this risk thing because we just don't have the money. We have to keep you have to give us money. You should pay us to work here. Right. That's the mentality. Right. So, but as security professionals, I just think that we should be comfortable with not being at the highest paid person at a company. And I don't think we are really, but we chase these titles a little bit. We all do. Right. Well, I'm a director and I'm a senior director. And I'm a VP. Everybody wants to be everybody in the security industry wants to be a CSO, right? Or a lot of people. And I think if you're the CSO and maybe you're still underneath the VP of real estate, you know, as far as your reporting string, maybe it's okay. You know, and let's just be okay. Be okay with that. You know, the world has enough problems. Let's just be okay with it.
Carlos, can I give you some hope? Because please. Scott wasn't giving you anything. No, let me give you some hope, man.
Thanks,
let me drive some hope. I think that it's a choice, right? And I firmly believe this. I think you can either stay rooted in your craft. And understand that you're going to stay in a place where you're going to be a specialty. You're going to focus on security matters. You're going to focus on those things. Can you get to the C-suite? Absolutely. You just have to switch your mindset. You have to become more of a business professional. So to say that you can't get there is not is kind of a misnomer. You can. You just have to switch your thinking and embrace the business, actual business aspect of things. And then being a double agent when you get up there, then you can start enacting other types of things, right? You can do a little insurgency in that way. Is change your line of thinking, get up, you know, climb into the COO, you know, position and get into those kind of roles and then change things from within, you know, to make security more of a business, you know, a business partner in that aspect. So yeah, I think you can. It's just a different way of getting there. Right.
Dave went full jihad there.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, David. I truly appreciate you, you know, saving a little bit of my heart that I had left, a little bit of my soul. So I appreciate it.
I try.
But it is a challenge. Look, fellas, I think it is a challenge for us to get up there. It is a challenge for us to change our mind, to do exactly what Dave just said. And it takes a lot. It's a lot of leap and bounds to get to that, to where you understand the total operation. And you're right, too, Scott. You know, we have to understand where we come from and what where we can really impact the business and what, you know, and even be okay with the levels that we could get to. The problem with folks like us is that we all come from a background, you know, that if you're not the sheriff,
that's right.
If you're not the, you know, let's call it 06, 7, 8 and up kind of thing, or even 09, right? If you don't make it to that level, because it's so easily, you can easily see the path to become an E9. You can even easily see the path, right? And that's where you want to be. I just don't think in the corporate world that path is that easily aligned
But think about that. You're absolutely right, Carlos. Think about every single corporate security organization that we can name five right now off the top of our heads that have a hierarchy like that. You know, that we need to stop that. Because what we are is we're good advisors, you know. And you said it, this Dave, I think before we started recording, how many boards of directors have security professionals on them? You know, like somebody who's got a CPP, who's been a CSO, maybe, you know, how many boards of directors have somebody like that? They generally don't. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but we do risk all day, every day. There's nobody in the company who knows risk better than us. And yet the companies generally, I'm being broad brush here, don't consider us to be part of the business. And I think that's a real problem.
Yeah.
It's funny you said that. I was thinking about, I think it's Microsoft now that calls their security leaders security consultants or something like that, though they were FTEs. But here's something that I think that we should learn. And, you know, you're saying that nobody knows risks better than us. I most definitely do not disagree. But if you're going to work in a corporation, the only thing that challenges me all the time is understanding real viable risks through the risk processes that are used in corporate.
Yeah.
You know, risk, because I am comfortable figuring out, do I want to, you know, risk accept? Do I want to risk transfer? Do I want to risk avoid? Do I want to be risk averse? Whatever the case may be, I can take all of those, right, and transfer. But the only problem is with folks that come from our industry that I think is in a definite misalignment with corporate. It's like the idea of, and I've said this before, risk transfer.
Yeah,
because we're not very good at transferring risk where corporate is.
Yes.
You know, so can we at least then just learn a little bit of that? Like, it's okay that what you might have gone through in a theater of war or as a law enforcement officer on the streets of mean LA, that the odds are that it may not happen at your company, right? And be able to be okay with risk accept.
Yes.
And be okay with risk transfer, right? Instead of just trying to risk avoid everything.
Well, think about that for a second, because I think that's a great point. Let's look at some business, well-known business leaders, because, you know, that's always easier to talk about than something that nobody knows about. But, you know, you think about the founders of Apple, you know, how did they think about risk? Uber, You know, Travis Kalanick, how did he think about risk? I certainly know how my CEO, Jensen Huang, thought about risk. I knew that firsthand from his mouth to me about what he thought about specific risks. And they approach these opportunities with a way different thought pattern than we do, because when those of us who come out of military and law enforcement, even security, when you have a bad day, that means somebody didn't go home, right? And so folks who come out of that tend to look through everything as a risk. When I'm walking down the city street and I come to a crosswalk, I can tell you that I've watched my CEO stand on with his toes hanging off the corner. Me, I'm as far away from the corner of the street as you can get, the corner of the curb that you can get, because I have seen cars make that turn and come up and over the curb, right? But their risk appetite is way different. Travis Kalanick, good example. I'm going to take on every taxi cab regulator in the United States and in Europe, right? He did that. And he won, by the way. So he bet his whole company, billions of dollars, his investors, his employees' livelihood on, I think we can make this private cab thing work. And he did. He's changed the world, right? What Apple did. We're going to bet on the personal computer when there was no one using personal computers. And we're going to make a $1 billion company doing that. We are going to shift away from flip phones to a screen phone, because we think we got the technology to do it. By the way, Microsoft tried that 10 years prior and failed. So, and by the way, failing is also a bit of risk acceptance. But what I think is that too many security professionals are beat over the head when they fail, right? By their companies, by themselves, by their coworkers, by their colleagues in the industry. Oh, well, that guy went with blankety blank vendor and they stink and he spent thousands of dollars and of company money and didn't get any ROI. What's the ROI? Well, let's just look at operations. How many products did we churn out that made no money at all or cost us millions, if not billions? There's plenty of examples of that. Nokia is a good example of that, right? New Coke is a great example of that. You want to talk about billions of dollars spent running down something that didn't work. So they accept risk way different than we do. The business is okay with accepting that risk way more than a security professional who says, I want to get this new camera system. It's going to cost us $2 million to do. And if it fails, or if it doesn't work as advertised, we are crucified for it. Whereas if that had been somebody in the business, they would not be crucified. They'd probably be promoted. Right. And I don't have a good answer here. My whole point behind this is we put a lot of it on us, and we shouldn't. If we're business professionals, it's not our money. And I know every CSO's head's exploding right now. Treat the corporate coffers and the corporate treasury as if it's your money. I got it. I've heard you. I believe it in my heart. I don't do this with my company. I would never treat my company the way I'm suggesting we do this right now. But other business professionals, they don't look at that at all. How many meetings have you guys been in with legal where the CLO is like $25 million to that law firm outside counsel? Yeah. Yeah, go ahead and just pay that bill. $25 million? What can I do with $25 million in security, right? So that's all I'm saying is it is disproportionate, and that's okay. We need to stop thinking that we're going to crush every risk out there, because we're not. Just accept it.
Thanks. I'm glad I wasn't that crazy. So, no, that's cool. Well, listen, I'm glad that we talked about this one, and I'm actually glad that we recorded for the folks out there listening. because this is something that is extremely important to really think about, because we all want to be the best so we can be. A lot of us are A personalities. I used to be, I think, an A personality. Now I'm more amenable to other people's thoughts and ideas, and really, I've become so much better, Scott, since I met you, actually. In my last podcast with the North Group with Natasha, I talked a lot about our working relationship and how wonderful it is. But and not to be cheesy right here in this podcast, by the way, that's not what I'm trying to do. But anyways, real good stuff. Dave, any last thoughts? But we're coming right up on time. And I'm sorry, I had to mute you a little bit. There was some background chatter going on.
No, I think this was a great conversation. Needs to be had and needs to be put out there for the masses, for sure. You know, we all have our feelings and experiences that we've, you know, have encountered over the years in different roles. So I think definitely a good topic of conversation today. So good on you for wanting to record this and get this out for the masses. And hopefully Scott's comments don't make any further CSOs heads explode. That would not be a good thing.
There you go. Scotty, any last thoughts?
Don't worry, be happy. You know, it's okay. We're not gonna solve every business risk, and that's okay.
Yeah. And if you want to be a CEO, just start your own company and call yourself CEO. How's that? I think it'd be a lot faster path.
That's right.
All right. Well, listen, everybody, thank you once again for listening to myself and all these grateful, great folks. Dave Weiner with Secure Measures, thank you for being here with us today. We're really excited about the growth and what we're doing and everything in Corporate Security University. So to let everybody go after this wonderful podcast, my name is Carlos Francisco.
And I'm Scott Walker.
This is Corporate Security University.
Security excellence through education.
All right. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Security excellence through education. Corporate Security University.